Well, good morning, and a very warm welcome to our online service of morning prayer, and a special warm welcome if you're logging on for the very first time. And what better way to start our service than that wonderful hymn expressing our incredulity and delight at what Jesus has done for all of us. So please join in as we sing, "And Can It Be?"
Oh,
we continue our service with our prayer of preparation. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. So we say together, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have wandered and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things that we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us sinners. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a disciplined, righteous and godly life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. We now have an opportunity to do what we're not allowed to do in church, or congregations anyway, because there we're not allowed to sing. But in the comfort of our own homes, we can sing to our heart's content. So please join us as we now sing Forth in the Peace of Christ. From the Psalms this week is taken from Psalm number 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. Our scripture reading this Sunday is read by Margrethe Wells.
Today's reading is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 8. You know for yourselves, brothers, that our visit to you was not fruitless. Far from it. After all the injury and outrage which, to your knowledge, we have suffered at Philippi, we declared the gospel of God to you frankly and fearlessly, by the help of God. A hard struggle it was. Indeed, the appeal we make never springs from error or base motive. There is no attempt to deceive, but God has approved us as fit to be entrusted with the gospel, and on those terms we speak. We do not curry favour with men. We seek only the favour of God, who is continually testing our hearts. Our words have never been flattering words, as you have cause to know. Nor, as God is our witness, have they ever been a cloak for greed. We have never sought honour from men, from you, or from anyone else, although as Christ's own envoys we might have made our weight felt. But we were as gentle with you as a nurse caring fondly for her children. With such yearning love we chose to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves, so dear had you become to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Margrethe. Now we have another opportunity to exercise our vocal cords. That blessing from the Book of Numbers, and set to music by John Rutter. So please join us. In the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yeah.
And now Natasha is going to open God's word for us.
As I begin, let us pray. Dear Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share and open your word this morning. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the 70s, I remember my favourite piece of clothing was a Starsky and Hutch t-shirt. There was one long summer where I wore it all the time, paired quite often with my Rupert the Bear trousers. They were so itchy, but I liked Rupert and his adventures, so I wanted to wear them regardless. Oh, I must have looked so fabulous. The 80s was the decade I wore skirts most often. Puffball, rah-rah, mini. And in the 90s, Lycra became a thing. It seeped into every conceivable aspect of clothing, and I was forever more comfortable. As interesting as my walk down fashion memory lane may be to some, you might be struggling to see the link between that and chapter 2, verse 1 to 8 of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, but bear with me just for a while and you will see. I don't know about you, but as the decades whiz by, I become less and less impressed by the latest fads and crazes that soak our world. Before entering full-time ministry as a vicar, I was a toy shop owner, and it was my job to predict and make a profit from the latest playground crazes and know just what was going to be the hit toy for Christmas, and then make sure I had just enough of them in store to meet demand and not be left oversupplied. And whether it's clothes, toys, or even the latest superfood or bit of technology that promises to make your life so much better, we know, deep down, that it's just fluff and marketing and self-promotion that is enticing us to partake in all these things. That the thrill and the experience of being part of the fad or craze or movement that's currently sweeping us up and giving our lives just that extra bit of zing right then. It's just transitory and most likely fake, but it's fun. It's of its time. It's just for a moment. Enjoy it while it lasts and then move on to the next thing, the next fad, craze, movement. Time to follow something new. Ah, now we're getting to Paul's letter. Thessalonians, as you know, for I'm sure you were all avidly listening last week, they were connoisseurs of religions. As Leon Morris explained in his commentary on this letter, he said these good folk hosted many holy men of all creeds and countries, popular philosophers, magicians, astrologers, crackpots and cranks, the sincere and the spurious, the righteous and the rogue, swindlers and saints. And each one came, spoke, performed, and garnered various levels of support and attention, drawing in believers and sceptics alike, leaving a cornucopia of fads and crazes in their wake. And now that Paul was gone, he was off in Corinth, preaching and serving those good folk there, the rumbles and the jibes critiquing his ministry had begun. Well, Paul's no different than the rest, they said. He didn't stay. His words were fine and grand and inspiring, but that was for then, it's not for now. Those preachers come and we pay them and they give them our hospitality, but they don't really care. They don't love you. It was all for show, so you'd fall for their patter. It's not real, this Jesus stuff. It's just another religion. Move on. It was fun while it lasted. What's next? And Paul heard all this chatter, these grumblings, the criticism. And he heard how upset it had made the church, how they were feeling under pressure to reconform to social expectations, how they struggled with the snide remarks and all that. and he heard how his message of hope and salvation was being questioned for its validity, how his behaviour amongst them was being forgotten and false accusations were being put in their place. And so after opening with such encouraging words in chapter 1, Paul continues, but expands now to defend himself for the sake of the gospel message that he proclaimed in faith. Let's hear again from verse 4. On the contrary, he says, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. If the critics were left to hold sway with no response, then there would be validity in their claims. And this was not an option. Paul was reliable, genuine and true. When the disciples came and Paul preached and healed and listened, he didn't do it for money, fame or glory. He did it for Christ, the Christ whom he had met on the road to Damascus, the Jesus who showed him that God had a plan, a way and a kingdom. When Paul re-examined the scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he began to see God's fingerprints across the story of humanity. Paul was one of those God had approved. That is, he had been made fit for public service by God testing him, shaping him, and then finally sending him out as a commissioned messenger of the Lord. So as Paul pours out his personal vulnerabilities to his fellow followers of Christ, he asks them to remember the truth of their experience of him. He says, you know, our visit to you was not without results. You know we suffered and had been treated outrageously in Philippi. You know we never used flattery or coveted your possessions. But we did care for you. We loved you. We shared our lives with you, not just our gospel. So the complete opposite then of what was being said. Paul and Timothy and Silas, they were real, authentic, honest gospel givers. And they were like young children amongst them. Now, I don't think this meant that they were babyish or in need of looking after, more in the sense that they were pure of heart and intention. But why is this so important, that Paul was not diminished by all that was being said about him? I think if we re-examine verse 4, we'll begin to understand. Paul said, we are not trying to please people, but God. Instead, Paul says, go ahead, look, poke, what do you find? You find an authentic witness of Christ Jesus. If I let this go, then what's to stop you thinking Jesus is not self-serving, glory-hunting, or out to make a buck from you too? I am mimicking him. I, like him, am willing to put myself out there and keep on keeping going despite the hardships and difficulties that being a disciple brings. And as John Stott, a very good and outstanding preacher, once said of this letter, Paul, Timothy and Silas were courageous. They did not let the fear of intimidation and trial soften or weaken the message of hope that Jesus brought. They did all they did not to follow a fad, craze or movement, but to please God. Is there nothing more liberating than that? More encouraging than this? Do what you do. Live how you live. Not to please yourself or to fit in or to find fame, glory or wealth, but to please God. That should embolden us, surely, to stick with God, keep on going. We've made it this far with him. And despite the difficulties, the tragedies, the change and the upheavals of life, amazingly, I think we've found God is still in our midst, pouring out wisdom, compassion, hope and unending love. Let's not get tempted to dilute his gospel, turn away from truth, forget the awe-inspiring presence of his Spirit ministering amongst us as we worship together online, in church, and as we go about our daily lives. Let's remain like young children, delighting when we discover the how of God's creation and the excitement of being part of his great plan for bringing the whole world back into a right and glorious relationship with the Father through us, his messengers, his gospel bearers. Paul went through so much suffering, torment, and was disheartened at times, but he knew and delighted in the fact that his identity was in Jesus, so he ministered from that place. And as he writes to this foundling church, whom he adored and loved unconditionally, he writes words that encourage us now, as we journey with and for one another through this winter of unease and possible suffering. There are, I'm afraid, just as many critics and snipers in this world today who are ready to crush and dispel your faith with a barbed comment or a veiled snub, just as there was for our brothers and sisters of faith in the first century. Knocking your honest, truthful ways, questioning your motives for your activities that are intended to help, love, and are done out of concern, as you strive to love God and love others. Just as with Paul, they may be misconstrued, dubbed as shallow or self-serving, but don't let that stop you. Ask yourself, for whose sake are you doing it? And if it's for God's, to show his love, his peace, his glory, his hope in this world, then keep on going. This is not a fad, or a phase, or a fashionable act of charity. Christianity is none of these things, and you are to do as Paul did and find your identity in Christ Jesus. Faith is not an accessory to life, to be picked up and put down on a whim. It is life, life in all its fullness and its glory. And our gospel message is not one to be bartered or bought, but it is a gift to be received. And as you offer it to others, do so freely and graciously, with kindness and love, pointing to one God, one faith, one hope. For in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Amen.
Thank you very much, Natasha. And now we have an opportunity to affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. If you'd like to stand, that's fine. If you want to continue sitting, that's also fine. But we say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now we're going to have our prayers, which this week have been prepared and are read by Deb Whittaker.
In response to our intercessions today, when I say through our prayers, caring and sharing, please respond with, Your kingdom come. Let us pray. Caring God, you gather all your children under your wing like a mother hen. We pray firstly for ourselves. We thank you for your love so strong. May that love flow through us to others. May we be patient when change comes slowly. May we be kind when life seems harsh. May we be gentle when others feel bruised. May we be humble when things go well. May we be peaceful when anger rises within. May we forgive when wronged. Love never fails, but we do. So may we persevere when the way is hard. Through our prayers, caring and sharing, your kingdom come. Caring God, you have shown yourself as a loving father and a tender mother. We pray for families. We pray for couples about to be married, expecting babies, or caring for children. We think of adult children making new lives at university, work, or within their own families. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, for the gift of love which binds couples and families together. Teach us to care for each other, build lasting and healthy relationships, and share our lives selflessly. We offer up families where children are living with only one parent. Help them to feel your love with them in times of joy and in times of worry. Give strength, patience, and wisdom when they try to be both father and mother whilst at the same time dealing with their own struggles. Point out people who need us to befriend them or be more caring and sharing of our time. We pray for older members of our family, especially those separated from us across seas, in care homes, or by lockdown. Protect them from harm. Guide them through uncertainty, comfort in loneliness or fear, and bless them with the warmth of your presence. Thank you that neither space or time can cut us off from the love we have for each other and find in you. Through our prayers, caring and sharing, your kingdom come. Caring God, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so Paul says they cared for the church at Thessalonica. So we pray for our church in Stoke Poges. Lord, compared to giants of faith like Paul, we sometimes feel too inadequate to play a part in the coming of your kingdom. Challenge our preconceptions and help us delight in sharing our gifts and sharing the gospel. We pray for Natasha, for Simon and John, for the various ministry teams and the PCC as they care for both congregation and wider village community, sharing their time and talents for the building of our kingdom here. Give them wisdom, courage and energy to reach out as God's people. Recharge their batteries with an increased awareness of your love and presence. And we thank you too for all who care for the church here, and especially pray for the verger, the church office staff, caretakers and reapers. We pray for the Alpha Course, for leaders, helpers and those taking part. We pray each guest will find a space where they can connect with one another and with Jesus. And may the team receive fresh anointing for all they are doing and a renewed heart to share the gospel. And we lift up the work of the Baby Steps group and ask it will provide companionship and support for new parents here, grow new friendships, and allow the sharing of stories and songs which tell of your great love for them. Through our prayers, caring and sharing, your kingdom come. Lord, you are the source of all kindness and compassion. You have told us that whatever we do for others, we do for you. And so we pray for our local community, the parish council, schools and youth groups and shop workers. Keep them safe. Direct our attention to the needs of our villages at this present time and show how best we can serve here in your name. We pray for villagers who are sick or bereaved, for carers and the cared for those anxious about money, job security or without employment. And we call out the names of all those in need of your healing power. Through our prayers, caring and sharing, your kingdom come. Finally, let's close our prayers using the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Deb. And now the church's special prayer for this, the last Sunday after Trinity. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And our final hymn today is Tell Out My Soul. So again, please join us as we sing Tell Out My Soul. Now a final blessing for all of us. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. We hope you've been refreshed by this morning's service, and hopefully you'll come again. In the meantime, if you need any help or need to contact the church, please email or phone the church office. But if you do get in touch with us, be assured that somebody will get back to you.